Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there, many thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and in the company of Paul Keighley and David Jennings from the Racing Post, plus Paddy Power's Tom Nugent, we are going to look ahead to the weekend action, which takes the form of three meetings in front of the ITV4 cameras. There's four races at York, two at Sandown, one at Chester. We've also got the Prix de Diane at Shanty on Sunday, plus loads of other action elsewhere, albeit the rain has eaten into the fixture list to some extent. And obviously, five fantastic days await at Royal Ascot next week, so we will get the panel's bankers, best long shots, and horses they want to oppose. First of all, though, how is everyone's form going into a massive week at Ascot? Keels, you seeing it nice and big?
Probably my worst weekend of the year last week, with a couple of non-runners that I'd lumped on anti-post. I did claw a bit back yesterday with a winner, so hopefully turning again.
Okay, DJ, are you optimistic going into Ascot?
Yeah, actually, on the GEA front last weekend, it was...
Oh, I saw that. That was amazing.
Yeah, and the team I tipped to win it outright, like Dublin will probably win it, but the team I tipped to win it outright at the start in the supplement were 22-1, and I think they're into about sevens or eights now, so Donegal all the way.
Jolly good. And Tom, how's your punting? All good?
Grand, I would say. Nothing more than grand.
Grand. Wow, I like the sound of that. Okay, over the course of the next half hour or so, actually DJ's on the panel, so more like an hour or so, we will take you through the Saturday cards, then we'll look at Sunday, and then we'll look at Royal Ascot. But we will start with the four races at York, the first of which is the 150, the Queen Mother's Cup Handicap Chase for Lady Amateur Riders. So,
did you say Handicap Chase?
Did I say Handicap
Chase?
Handicap
Chase, yeah.
I wish it was.
We wish.
I'm hankering for the jump season already. I don't know where that came from. Okay, Tom, take it away with a show of betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, four places here from Powers. Arctic Fox tops the market 7-2. Makawee next in at fours. Where is Jeff? 8-1. 10-1. Breath Caught. And 12-1. And bigger the rest.
Righto, Kills, kick us off with a winner.
I just think this Makawee, I'm surprised he's not favourite. But I mean, if you get 4-1, four places, I mean, it's just a free bet. Hacked up here two starts ago, then one under a penalty at Weatherby up to 1.6 and literally just cruised along and won on. Both runs on really fast ground, but his action suggests it might even be better on soft ground. Her action. She's just improving really, really fast, and I think she'll win.
Okay. DJ, how much do you look at the jockeys in a race like this?
Well, you say that, Bruce, and you've teed me up nicely, a lot. Bad news for Keels, I think Makawee is a great price here. I think she'll start favourite. Joanna Mason rides Makawee. Like, her career stats are actually quite good for a female of her calibre. Like, she's had 25 career winners. That's only in the last couple of years. And out of 151 rides, so she's a 17% strike rate. And I actually went back to watch her last ride, which was on Space War at Hamilton the other night, and she looked fine to me. I thought she was, you wouldn't pick her out and say, oh, she's not good at this. She was fine. She seemed to be quite well balanced, and she was strong enough in the finish. So to me, Joanna Mason is not a negative for Makawee. And to echo what Paul said, like, she's lightly raced, seven starts. She's up £10 for that Weatherby win. On her course and distance success back in May, the second came out and won next time at Weatherby, or at Newcastle, sorry. David O'Mara has come into form as well. He's had seven winners since the start of June. And you kind of say to yourself, maybe the ground is a little bit of a worry, but like Keel said, like, her action seems to be fine, and she's by far, so she should be fine. To be honest, I think she's a cracking bet, Makawee, and I don't think Arctic Fox jumps well enough.
Oh, go away. There's a little slip of the tongue. Tom, who do you like?
I'd be a bit like DJ in that I'd look into the riders in this a fair bit, and Miss Serena Brotherton.
She's always the one, isn't she?
39 career winners out of 221 rides, 18%, and she rides Where is Jeff for Mick Easterby here, and I think he's a decent chance back up. He steps up here. I think he won over a mile and a half the last day, so it's the same trip again, but Where is Jeff for me each way at eights with the four places.
We move on to the 225, the JCB Handicap, another race that sounds like a jumps race, but it's over seven furlongs on the flat, and Paddy Power bet as follows.
Yeah, five places here. Al Jadi, 6-1 favourite. Queso, 7-1. Get Knotted, 9s. Love Dreams, 10s. Alongside Firmament and Hyper Focus, 12-1. And bigger the rest.
Not an easy card, this, DJ, is it? If you're trying to swell the Ascot coffers.
No, I kind of like it, though, because you have to kind of dig a little bit deeper. And when it comes to York and there's a bit of rain around, the one horse I'm hoping will run is Get Knotted. He's been to York 14 times, and he had three wins, three seconds, three thirds. He's unbeaten over this course and distance when there's been soft in the going description. Paul Mulrennan has been on board for four of his seven wins. I just think he always kind of takes a couple of runs to get right. And it seems to be everything seems in place for this particular race. Down to a mark of 92. Dropped £2 for Thirsk, which I thought was very, very fair and very nice of the handicapper. And Michael Dodds, his team, like David O'Mara, coming into form. He's had five winners in the last fortnight, and they haven't been fancied runners. 14-1, 11-1, 4-1, 10-1, and 12-1. I'd imagine this has been the plan for Get Knotted for quite some time, and the skies have come in his favour. So Get Knotted for me here.
Tom, do you agree?
No, Love Dreams is the one for me. I thought he was disappointed when he went to Dubai, but has been very consistent since he came back. Now, he's not obviously well handicapped off of 99, but he won off 100 last season at Goodwood, and so 99 is obviously workable. And I don't think whatever rain they've had in York will bother him too much. He'll be bounced out and ridden positive, and I think he's a decent price at 10s. Love Dreams.
Nothing worse in racing than following a horse and then unfollowing it only to see it win, which is what happened with me and Love Dreams. Kills, who do you think is going to win this?
York love a competitive handicap, don't they? This is really, really difficult, but I got this feeling that the favourite, Al Jadi, is the one that could be the potential blot on the handicap. He won his first three, one out of one as a juvenile, then won his first two as a three-year-old. The juvenile win came on soft ground at Redcar. They were all over six furlongs. He was unlucky in running in a Goodwood racer, Glorious Goodwood, over his only run over seven furlongs last season. Came back this year, finished third to Soldier's Minute, who's probably got a fair chance in the Wokingham next week. And he was just rushed off his feet early, and that was over six furlongs, and he was flying late to finish third, crying out for the seventh furlong, thinking like the ground as well. So I think he's probably, so lightly raced, he's probably the one that is the most likely winner, and I've backed him. There's a couple of outsiders. If the ground isn't that soft, above the rest, should have won at Thirst last time.
Oh, actually, sorry, Kills, we better get your weather prediction for the weekend. Are we going to get more rain or
the forecast is for showers. It all depends on how heavy it is. But, the ground was heavy at Sandown the other day, and, it's now soft on the sprint course and might be nearly good at soft because it just dries a lot quicker this time of year, doesn't it? Above the rest, if it's not too soft, he should have won at Thirst last time. He's down to a mark of 102. He ran not far off his career best on the all weather, only in March, and he's a similar horse on both surfaces, so he's definitely well handicapped if it's not too soft. And one right down the bottom, but one who was a bigger price, Blizzard, Rafe Beckett, won a listed race in France last year on soft ground, closing run. He said in his stable tour, she absolutely needs soft ground. Must have it. So she hasn't run since last season, but she's out here in a valuable handicap. She's got a chance.
By the way, Rafe's going to have the St. Ledger win it this year. It ran yesterday.
Antonio de Vega. It's all about stamina, didn't she?
The St. Ledger. You heard it here first. Okay, we move on to the 3 o'clock at York. It's the Skybet Race to the Ebor Grand Cup Stakes over a mile and six, and the market revolves around Stouty's Jolly Mekong, Tom.
Yeah, Mekong 11-10 after a pretty good run behind DXB the last day. Raheen House now trained by William Haggis, 9-2, second favourite. Austrian School, 5-1. Desert Skyline, 8, alongside Gold Mount and Making Miracles, 33-1, and bigger the rest.
And it's your go, Tom.
I didn't realise Mekong would be as short as 11-10. I only had a quick look at the prices before I came in, and in my notes I was very, very interested to see if William Haggis could kind of recreate some of the 2017 form of Raheen House, who showed glimmers of being a very, very good horse, and he might improve from a fresher kind of environment, as a lot of horses do first time out for a new trainer. So at 9-2, I'll take a chance at Raheen House. For me,
are you going to veer away from the favourite, Kills, or play it safe?
I think he's very solid. I mean, I quite like DXB for the Gold Cup, and I thought he ran a fair race against him on ground that was too quick for him. He definitely wants soft ground. He's definitely the one to beat. Gold Mount is quite interesting, though. He's got some form. He's running for Ian Williams now. He's got some form in the book and from the past that was very, very good, including one the King George, the fifth handicap of Royal Ascot for Alan King when he was called Primitivo. And he's been around the world since then. I've been in Hong Kong, I think. He's definitely got a chance on the book, without a shadow of a doubt, but I think Mekong's still the one to beat.
And DJ?
I'm going to be incredibly boring here. I think Mekong is going to be very hard to beat. I think when you go back to last year at Haydock and you see that performance on heavy ground, I think the softer it is, the better he'll be. And he's just rock solid. He looks better than ever the last time against DXB. And I kind of went into the race trying to take him on. And every time I went through a horse, I said, oh, no, I think that's going to struggle to beat Mekong. That happened every time. So if there is odds against, it's probably not the worst kind of 5-4, 11-10 shot you'll ever back.
Righty-ho, it gets tricky again at 3:35 at York at the Pavers Foundation Catherine Memorial Sprint Handicap over 6 furlongs. Have we got some more extra place bonuses here, Tom?
Yeah, tricky race, but a little bit of help with 6 places with Powers. Victory Day is 11-2, joint favourite with Morrowed, Dazzling Dan 6-1, 7-1, Ratbone 12-1, Blow by Wind, and 14-1, and Bigger the Rest.
Right, can any of you three pull the rabbit out of the hat? Kills, you go first.
Well, yes. The fascinating one is Victory Day's favourite, trained by William Haggis, having his first run in a handicap. Owned by Clipper Logistics, who are obviously Yorkshire-based, and they do a lot of sponsorship at York. He won really easily at Ripon, but the second has been beaten off a mark of 75, and I think the third, fourth and fifth have all been beaten off 60, 61, that sort of thing. So he's got a stiff task on his hand off 90. I like two reasonable prices. Dave Dexter was actually backed.
Another Rafe.
He was actually backed really heavily at Haydock last time, and he really does like soft ground, but it was in a race, on the figures, he just couldn't win. And I thought he was only beaten just over 3 lengths. I thought he ran a perfectly reasonable race. He won a listed race on heavy ground at Ayr last season. He was second in the Rockingham Stakes over this course and distance last year as well. I think he's got a chance. He 6 furlong will be right at the end of his stamina because he's more of a 5 furlong horse. But if you're going to get it, it'll be there. And the other one is Cosmic Law. He won the Woodcut Stakes for Carl Burke. For Richard Fay last season, by 6 lengths on soft ground. Didn't really live up to that form afterwards, and the trainer tried a visor with him, blinkers, all sorts. He still wasn't far behind Dave Dexter at Ayr or York, but he came back and he just looked a different horse when he'd been gelded, and he sort of really put his head down and finished second at Chester first time up. So if he comes on for that, I think he'd be a player too.
Dave Dexter and Cosmic Law for Kills. Who for David Jennings?
I'm going to take two as well. The first of them is the more obvious one, Morrowed, who I think is only 11-2 with Powers. I think it's bigger elsewhere. And I just thought it was given far too much to do last time at Newmarket. I thought he did well even to get into a challenging position there. They got away from him in the dip that day. And if you go back to his run against Dazzling Dan at Doncaster, Dazzling Dan hit 1.14 in running that day and was beaten by Morrowed, who did incredibly well to win, hit 16-1 in running. And I just think the application of blinkers for the first time is going to be a big help to Morrowed. He just doesn't look to me, even when he was beaten at Kempton when favoured earlier on the season, he just doesn't look like his whole mind is on the job. So I think blinkers could eke out a little bit of improvement. So Morrowed would be my first choice and one at a massive price. I think Firelight off a mark of 94 is very interesting. It's almost certain to handle conditions and quite lightly raced and has gone down the handicap very quickly for not running too badly. So Firelight at 20-1 and Morrowed will be my two.
Okay, and don't forget, if you want to take those prices, you can, and the extra places, 6 places available at paddypower.com and also on the Racing Post app. Tom, who do you think is going to win this?
I don't know what's going to win, but if I was to have a bet, I'd take a chance with a horse that actually has a bit of form with Dave Dexter. What Mr. Keely was saying there, Secret Venture was third behind Dave Dexter in Ayr in a heavy ground listed race last season. And I think after 93, he's relatively well handicapped in what he's shown so far. And obviously will handle whatever rain they've had there. So I think each way at, what is he about? He is 16-1. One with Powers, so I'll take a chance each way with Secret Venture.
Lovely stuff. As we said, on Tuesday, Royal Ascot starts, and if you want to give yourself the best possible chance of arming yourself with the info you need, this little beauty, the Racing Post Royal Ascot Guide, is available if you order it now at racingpost.com/shop. It will get you in good time to digest all the goodies therein. Back with Sandown next.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Let's move on then now to Sandown, where there are two races on ITV4. The first of which is the 205. It's the Randox Health Scurry Stakes, a burn up over the 5 furlong course. And Kills, take it away with the winner.
Yeah, it's a very strange race, this. It's got 9 runners with almost no soft ground form. And like I said, the sprint course was heavy on Wednesday. It'll have dried out a bit, but it's going to be really sticky. I'm going to take a chance on a horse that's probably got absolutely no chance on the figures. Wise Words, trained by James Tate. Won at Redcar last time on good to firm ground. Looked like it was running all over his rivals, but when she was asked to pick up, she did pick up originally, but I just thought she was struggling on the ground a little bit. And the trainer said afterwards she wants much easier going than this. She's got an awful lot to do on the figures, but she's drawn in trap two, so she's up near the rail. And a lot of these won't handle it. And if she does, James Tate is not an idiot by any means. He's running a horse in a listed race, going to completely destroy her mark if she finishes fifth, beating 4 lengths. So I have a feeling that she's going to outrun her price.
It's very apt that you said trap two there, because the Scurry, of course, is a very famous greyhound race. Do you remember which track it used to be run at?
Wembley?
No, it was Slough, and then Slough. It moved to Catford.
Oh, well, I don't remember Slough.
Neither of which is still open, of course. Who wins the Scurry, DJ?
Did you see that dog race during the week?
Oh, wow, that was absolutely incredible, wasn't it? I remember the original Skurlogue champ. You'll be way too young for it, DJ. But, I mean, this was the nearest thing I've ever seen to Skurlogue. It was absolutely amazing. DJ, when you get a chance, go and look at some Skurlogue champ videos on YouTube. Honestly, okay. You've never seen anything like it. It was like that one, but over a marathon distance. He almost used to get laps. But yeah, that was phenomenal, wasn't it?
I remember a dog years ago, a famous dog in Ireland called the Late Late Show, which was famously owned by Pat Kenny, who would have been a host there, but similar type of running style. But anyway.
Okay. I can just about hear you. Kills have started foot tapping again.
Sorry, mate. Yeah.
Foot tapping's back. Who wins the Scurry, DJ?
I'm going to go for Curious here for Henry Candy. Now, I'm a little bit worried about the Candy stable form. He hasn't been sending out any winners at all. I don't think he's had a winner in the last fortnight. And I just think with Curious, like Keels was talking about the soft ground form, we don't have much to go on. I just go back to that listed race at Newmarket last November. Finished fourth to Angelic Light, who's a decent yardstick for Michael O'Callaghan, only beaten just over 2 lengths. That was on soft ground, and it was pretty soft that day. Really, the rain had got into the ground. It was kind of winter ground. And I think she'll cope fine. She was only ahead behind Leo D's Dream at over course and distance when they met in April. She's much better off at the weights. I'd forgive her latest run at Newbury. Nothing went right. She got pushed out. And I think at the prices, she's the one I could certainly see the money coming for. She's 8-1 with Paddy Power. I think she'll start a little bit shorter than that.
Jolly good. I thought we didn't have a show, Tom.
Yes, I
don't on site. Anyway, where do you have it? Odds Checker, Dave, is it?
Racing Post site, Paddy Power prices available.
It's not on paddypower.com anyway.
Right, DJ, when you get found out by the Racing Post, you're bound to end up in some bookie's PR role. So to rehearse for that, read out the Paddy Power prices for the Scurry.
Okay, Bruce, so the latest prices for Paddy Power are Street Parade is currently our 3-1 favourite. Now, we've seen a little bit of money for that during the week. There was a 4-figure bet at 7-2. Leodi's Dream is 130. Well Done Fox, 4-1. 5-1 Pocket Dynamo. Wise Words, the wise selection of Mr. Paul Keeley, is 7-1. El Ganache, El Guanche.
Oh, you failed. You've blown it.
I was going so well there. 8-1 Curious. And 25-1 Bar.
Cool, it's quite impressive that, Tom, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good, very good. He was a natural. There is a job for him in waiting, I would imagine. Well Done Fox. Look, I thought he'd be closer to favour than he is. Listening to DJ there doing my job. Well Done Fox, it seems, had some pretty strong 2-year-old form. And Pocket Rocket was second to Shang 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 in the Norfolk last year and has ran in some decent races already this year. But the one I was going to go with was Street Parade, who just appealed to me but has absolutely no form. On ground with an ease in it, but he's just slightly more progressive than some of the others, and it was a very good comeback at Windsor, so I take a chance with Street Parade. At what price, DJ?
Street Parade is currently your 3-1 favourite, Tom.
There you are, on your toes, boy. Well done.
Okay, next up is the 3:15 at Sandown. It's the Randox Health Handicap. And Kills, you can do your audition as a bookies PR. I'm not quite sure whether you're cut out for this, but let's see what you're on. Read out the Paddy Power prices.
We're 4-1 Greek side, 9-2 the winner, Baltic Baron, 6 Masham Star, Massam, as some people call it, but that's rubbish. 6 Sour, 6 Thrave, 7 Hatea, 8 History Writer, 12 Zap, 14 Loch Ness Monster, 20-1 none of us can pronounce or even going to try, Azurkar Bugulugli, and 33 Patty, an alternative fact.
Tom, if that was an audition, you had one vacancy to fill between Kills and DJ and the PR team, who would you go for based on what you've heard just now?
I don't know, maybe I'd go from the Simon Cowell route and just say to both, it's a no from me, maybe.
DJ, you're going first when it comes to the important business of nailing the winner. Who is it?
Yeah, I think I nailed that audition as well. 3:15, green side for me, because I think he's better going right-handed. His last four wins have been right-handed. It was beaten at Epsom, but it won at Windsor, Sandown and Newmarket. He won this race in 2017 off American 94, so it's only a pound higher now. And I actually thought it was a little bit unlucky at Epsom. I thought the race went away from him. So green side for me. And at this stage, I'm hoping that Henry Candy has already got on the board and he'd be looking for a double.
Tom Nugent, who's your fancy?
Yeah, I thought Kieran Fallon claiming another 7 off a Loch Ness Monster at 8-10 made him very appealing. Obviously, he needs to overcome a moderate loan last time, but I thought it was very interesting at around the 16-1 mark. 14s even.
Okie doke. Kills, you mentioned who was going to be the winner when you read the prices out. I've forgotten the name of it, so remind us and tell us why.
Yeah, Baltic Baron. Joined David O'Meara from France this year, runs in the same colours as Lord Glitters. Still left in the Hunt Cup, which is on Wednesday. Needs a penalty to get in. Now, he tried to get a penalty into it at Nottingham on his debut for the yard, and it was one of those races where they don't go slow and then they sprint, and a couple of them went past him on the outside and then crossed over in front of him, and he had to snatch up, and then he finished really strongly, finished second. He's better than that. The only thing is, he's been second 6 of his 11 starts overall, but I think he's just not suited to the style of French racing where they go slow and then sprint. And what he wants is a fair gallop, which he may not get here, but he will have a stiff finish to run at. And I think that'll suit him. I think he's crying out to go into a big field handicap, so I'd like to see him get into the Hunt Cup. And I think he might do it by winning.
And you're not calling him Massam Star, no?
No, it's Masham Star.
Why?
Don't have bangers and mass, do you? Mash.
It's a different thing.
It's not. It's how you say it.
240. Well, if you went to the village of Massam and asked them, I think they'd put you straight. 240 Chester. The Whiteley Neil Handcraft Gin Handicap over 1 mile, 4.5 furlongs. We haven't got any betting, but hopefully we've got some winners. And Tom, you can lead on.
We do have
betting. Oh, we do have betting.
Back in my natural environment.
Okay, coming in. You've had the apprentices. Now the master can take us through it. How do you bet on the 240, Tom?
Stas tops the market at 5-2. Prefontaine, 7-2. Wallstern, 5-1. Larry at 5s as well. Durston alongside them 2, and it's 10-1 and bigger the rest.
And who wins, Tom?
I thought Wallstern would be shorter than 5s. Had some decent form. Was a very expensive yearling, I think, if memory serves, and had decent form behind Norway last year. But Wallstern for me in a race that I haven't really done much work on, as I'm sure you can tell.
No, not at all. True pro. Kills.
I think it's about time Larry won again. He was a soft ground winner at Ayr last year. He's been second all 3 starts this season, but there's nothing wrong with that form. One of them was to Private Secretary, who's going to be second or third favourite for the King Edward the 7th at Royal Ascot. Another one was to Ron Priestley, who again is also going to Royal Ascot. And he's got soft ground form. He's second in between that over 1.5 miles at Chester. And I think he will go very close.
David, have you got a strong opinion on this race?
Yeah, just on what Tom was saying there about Wallstern, it's a half-brother to Wallgeist, who I think will win the Prince of Wales Stakes, and it costs 400,000, so he's certainly on something there. But I think Gravistas is the most likely winner. I thought he won quite easily at Newmarket. It's only going up £5 for that. Stall 2, Franny Norton at Chester. What's not to like?
Righty-ho, we've also got Bath, Hexham, Limerick, Downpatrick, Leicester. Is Leicester off? I thought Leicester might have been called off. Anyway, I don't know. There's loads of races to get stuck into. What do you lads like away from the glare of the TV camera? Paul Keighley.
Yeah, I've only got 2. 4:55 at Chester. Quick look. Trained by Mick Easterby. He's drawn trap 1 in a sprint. £7 lower than when finishing fourth in the Air Silver Cup last season on heavy ground. Got the absolute perfect conditions, has to go well. And at Sandown in the one between the two televised races, which is 2.35. Fantasy Keeper is one of the very few in the field that actually relishes soft ground. Another one is Petock's side, but I mean, for him to win, they'd have to start at the winning post and run the other way because he's a downhill track specialist, not an uphill track specialist. So Fantasy Keeper, I think, would be take the world of beating under Sylvester D'Souza.
Take it away, David Jennings.
Five, Bruce. Five for me. 250 Limerick Lincoln was just collared right on the line at Tipperary over 7 and a bit furlongs last time. Trade at 1.04 and running down to 6.5 furlongs here. Ground just literally danced across the soft ground of Tipperary. So I think Lincoln will handle the ground in the 250 at Limerick. Charlie Stout in the 4.35 at Limerick. Decent handicap hurdler on his day and quite nicely treated on the flat. And I thought it ran well, finished third in a better race than Navan last Saturday. So Charlie Stout in the 4.35. Now, this Turnberry Isle that's running the 5.45 at Limerick, I have been following this like everywhere and it ran shocking the last twice, but I do think it's potentially very well treated and there is a plan. I thought the Royal Hunt Cup might have been the plan, but I'm not convinced. But if there was a bit of money for Turnberry Isle in the 5.45, he'd be very interesting. And just two at Downpatrick, that's my hoss. I thought won reasonably convincingly at Kilbeggan last time and can follow up in the 4.55. And King's War, I think it's got away quite lightly with a £7 rise for its easy win at Wexford in a better race. So I think King's War can win the second last race at Downpatrick.
Good man, DJ. What have you got for us, Tom?
Just the one, conversely, to DJ's list there. Mock-a-Lad in the same race as Lincoln, the 250 at Limerick on Saturday. Been banging the drum about him for a while, and I thought he was a good thing at the Curragh when he ran the last day, but he ran disappointingly, finishing 8th of 12. They reapplied the tongue tie this year, and it's rejuvenated him. He hadn't been out of the first two in four runs out of five so far this season. I think back to a kind of a lower grade of race, I think he should be well-suited. So Mock-a-Lad for me in the 2.15 Limerick.
Okay, we've got thousands of people listening and watching, hoping that the boys can give them some horses that will boost their Royal Ascot betting budgets. So let's take it away with the Naps.
This will not be beaten.
David Jennings.
I am going to go for Get Knotted in the 2.25 at York.
Tom Nugent.
Love Dreams, 2.25 York.
Kills.
Al Jaddy, no, taking the piss. Fantasy Keeper, I think, is the most likely winner at a reasonable price. 2.35 Sandown.
Lovely stuff. A big 10 minutes for the Naps. Let's see what the boys have got for Sunday, and then we'll get stuck into Royal Ascot next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&C supply 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Paul Keeley, David Jennings and Paddy Powers, Tom Nugent. We're going to look at Sunday. We've got racing at Shaughnee, where the Prix de Diane takes place. Downpatrick, Salisbury, where they've got a very competitive or very high value heat at 4.10, the Cathedral Stakes. And they're also in action at Garran Park and Doncaster. Kills, what have you got for us on Sunday?
Yeah, 4.10. I think Snazzy Jazzy, who was third in the John of Gort, is going to take the world of beating in that Cathedral Stakes, the listed race. Won the Air Silver Cup that I mentioned earlier on last year. And there's one.
Some nice races down at Salisbury,
yeah,
don't
they? Yeah, they do, yeah. Yeah, never been there.
Oh, you've got to go. We'll go this summer, okay?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But the bet of Sunday, I think, in the 3.55 at Doncaster, I backed this horse at Haydock last week, Camacho Chief. I backed it stepping up to 6 furlong last week and they looked all over the winner at halfway and just didn't get home. Back to 5 furlong on soft ground that he loves. Got some form with some good handicappers who went rocketing up the handicap after they beat him last year. He's still reasonably lightly raced and I think he'd take the world of beating. Camacho Chief, 3.55.
DJ.
I like 2 at Downpatrick, Bruce. In the 2.20, the maiden hurdle, Argent et Or for Emmett Mullins. And Brian Hayes started even money on 8 to 11 for its two bumpers. And they weren't bad bumpers, they were good bumpers. Finished fourth in both of them. And I'd imagine there's more to come over hurdles. Interesting, Emmett sending a horse to Downpatrick. And in the 2.55, Put the Kettle On, the returning Rachel Blackmore takes the ride. And this filly actually beat Gypsy Island, who is potentially the best bumper horse in Ireland this year, male or female. She beat Gypsy Island in a maiden hurdle at Nab and shouldn't have beaten Gypsy Island. Gypsy Island should have won. But she gets in here off a mark of 114. She didn't jump particularly well over fences at Kilbeggan last time, but still managed to win. I think there's an engine there, and I think the engine is better than 114. So put the kettle on in the 255 at then, Patrick.
Tom, have we got a show on the Prix de Diane yet?
Yes, we do, and I can run through it for you now if you
please
like.
Please do.
Prix de Diane, we are Sierrafina, 6-4 favourite. Comms, 9-2 second fav, Etoile 8, 12-1 Nausha, 12-1 and Title, 14-1 and Big of the Rest.
Have you got a view on it, Tom?
I absolutely do not.
Jolly good. Anything you do like on Sunday?
I'd been watching out for Emmett's horse a fair bit, that Argent Adore that runs in the 220 in Downpatrick. It was actually entered in a bumper this weekend in Downpatrick as well, but interesting to see that they've decided to go the hurdles route. So I think it'd be very, very interesting and one to keep an eye on.
Okay, let's get stuck into Royal Ascot. We have got daily postcasts right through from Monday through to Saturday, so do join us for them. And obviously we will be going through race by race in greater depth. But first of all, I want to get everyone's bankers, everyone's long shots, and then the horse they want to oppose. DJ, kick us off with your banker for Royal Ascot 2019.
You've probably heard it already because I've been banging on about her everywhere. Ickwart, the market still hasn't copped on to Ickwart. How she is not favoured for the Queen Mary on Wednesday is an absolute mystery to me. She is the fastest filly I've seen in Ireland in a long time. She's a flyer. She won at the Curragh last time where she beat the boys. Really, really impressive. Showed a good turn of foot on ground that was softer than ideal. So hopefully it dries out for Ickwart. Spoke to Billy Lee last week about her. He says she's an absolute flyer. On form, beating King Neptune, I think she should be favourite. There's still sevens and eights available. I think she'll go off about threes. I think Ickwart will win the Queen Mary.
Wow, very strong start from DJ. Tom, what's your banker?
Phoenix of Spain and the St. James's Palace Stakes. Haven't been impressed with an Irish Guineas winner as much in a long time as I was with him in the Curragh the last day, and I think it'd be very, very hard to beat. I can't see too darn hot coming back and beating him. So 13-8 Phoenix of Spain for me.
And Kills.
I like DXB in the Gold Cup. I think Stradivarius might get turned over. I think his performance at Sandown I thought was really good, and you know, Mark Johnson thinks he's got a Gold Cup horse, and he was the ultimate trainer of Stayers a few years ago when he finished second in the Derby last year. I don't think Stradivarius would have been able to do that, and he might just be top class.
I think Falcon 8 wins that if it runs. Massive price. But I will defer to your better judgment because you have spent far longer looking at Royal Ascot form than I have. Right, okay, best long shot, David.
Charlie Hills is the favourite for the King's Stand in Batash, but the one I backed and will continue to is Equilateral, who people think is a real kind of disappointing horse given the profile that came into the Commonwealth
given
Cup
with
last
year. Given how disappointing he's been.
No, I don't think he's been disappointing at all. I think with these sprinters, if you go through the list of runners in the King's Stand, it takes sprinters a while to get the hang of sprinting, I think, at the highest level against older horses. It's a different type of test to what they're used to as two-year-olds. And I think Equilateral has gradually made the breakthrough. And when you go back to the race at Newmarket, the Palace House, I thought everywhere bar the line, he was by far the best horse in that race. I know he was getting a bit of weight off Mab's Cross, but I thought Ascot would suit him better. And the speed he showed the time before at Newmarket, I said, I just prayed that they run in the King's Stand. The fact that he is going for the race and that James McDonald is booked, I think speaks volumes. I think 16s, 20s, Equilateral is a huge price.
I need you to explain taking time to get the hang of sprinting. The gates open, you run as fast as you can, and when the jockey stops waggling his arms, you stop. What is there to get the hang of?
I will explain, because that's what happens in sprinting against older horses. But when you're a juvenile, that's not what happens. You're trying to teach them how to settle in the first couple of furlongs of races. You're trying to teach them, right, I want to quicken at the 2-furlong pole, whereas it's just a case of just going now. And I think with Equilateral, I think they tried to turn him into a 6-furlong, 7-furlong horse. Now they've realised he's just all about speed. So I think that answers your question.
I don't. Tom.
I'm slightly worried now because DJ has stolen my thunder. I was all over Equilateral. I thought 16-1 was an absolutely massive price. The career of the three-year-old sprinter is sometimes a bit like the kind of tricky second album of the band that you liked when they first came out. Sometimes they struggle to find their way a little bit, but I think Equilateral has a cracking chance, and I think the run behind Mab's Cross the last day was an absolutely cracking run. And to DJ's point about sprinters learning to run, to use Mab's cross as an example, she's a June foal that was running around in very bad fillies handicaps in places like Haydock and Musselburgh and things like that, and then she progressed into a Group 1 horse. I think it does take them time, and I think Equilateral is a cracking each way bet in the King's Stand.
DJ, you're waiting for me to do that thing now, aren't you, where you say something and I absolutely rubbish it, and then one of the Paddy Power boys says the same thing, and I'm like, oh wow, that's shrewd, isn't it? Oh yeah, I see what you mean now.
Yeah, it's usually Frank Hickey.
I'm not going to do that at all, mate. So I'm now convinced. DJ and Tom have made a very strong case for Equilateral, who was one of the big disappointments of last year for me, I must say. Well, it's very expensive for me anyway, but I'll give him another chance. Kills, best long shot for Royal Ascot.
Yeah, coming round to the claims of Tis Marvellous in the Wokingham. I hadn't run that well in his last two starts, but I mean, he's very much a sort of all-weather Ascot sort of horse. Like, you know, he won, he finished fourth in the Wokingham a couple of years ago. He won a race off a mark of 100 there last year, pretty easily over five furlongs. Does get six well. I just think he's got a very, very solid chance at about 25 to 1.
Excellent. And the horse that you want to oppose, we'll start with you, David Jennings.
Me and Tom agreed on our long shot with Equilateral, but the one that I'll be opposing at a short price is Phoenix of Spain, because I just think we're using one race that in essence fell apart a little bit. Too Darn Hot wasn't the real Too Darn Hot. Magna Grecia pulled his hamstring. Scardew, I thought, was caught on the wrong part of the track. So I think there's enough excuses to explain the wide margin win. And he might go and do it. And I'd love to see him if he did, because it will prove that we have a genuine top-class three-year-old. But to me, there's enough doubts and there's enough alternatives. So I will be taking Phoenix of Spain on with probably Scardew.
Okie dokes. Tom, who don't you like?
Very happy to lay Librovido and the Queen Anne. I think won the Jersey Stakes and has done absolutely nothing since, and seems to somehow maintain his reputation when a lot of other horses who've done less wrong get written off by the market. So I can't understand why Librovido still tops the market for the Queen Anne personally.
And Kills, your good thing to avoid is?
Yeah, I'm going to take on Batash again. I mean, there's always a chance he'll blow his top again like he tends to do when there's big crowds. I mean, they're even talking about not even bothering going to the Nunthorpe this year, aren't they? Because he's blown his top twice there. He didn't run that badly last year when second, but he was still fairly well outpointed by Blue Point, who's in the race again. And I just don't think he likes places where he can boil over. So I'll take him on.
OK, some Royal Ascot thoughts from the lads. And like I say, if you want to get more, you want to get yourself armed with all sorts of great info, stats, trends, interviews, top tips, hints, the whole thing is here. It's £12.99. It's £12.99, very well spent. You get it from the racingpost.com and then you click on the shop. Now then, this time last year, I was shocked to hear that David Jennings had never been to Royal Ascot. And I'm even more shocked here that Paul Keighley has never been to Royal Ascot. But you are going to put that right this
time. Yeah, I'm going to put it right. And it'll probably be the first and last. I mean, you know what?
Why?
Because I'm a miserable git.
You love going racing.
I don't like massive crowds. What I really don't like is loads of people who are there not for the racing. And it'll just annoy me when I look around and watch people sitting, drinking and chatting
massive
and not watching
hypocrite.
The racing. I am. What?
You whenever you go racing, you always...
Or pay attention to every single race.
Yeah, I know you pay attention to every single race, but you between then...
I'm there for the racing. Loads of people aren't, are they? Come on, be fair.
So you're going Friday, yeah?
So I'm going Friday, yeah.
You'll love it, mate. Honestly, right, you will absolutely love it. It's brilliant. You can vouch for that, DJ, having made your debut last year.
Oh, I absolutely loved it. I was there for pleasure on the Friday last year, and this year I'm working the first few days, and then I'm there again on Saturday. Aoife's coming over. She enjoyed it too.
Fantastic. Has she blown the budget on a new outfit?
Oh, she put some effort into those outfits. My God, it's unbelievable. It's like us studying form, I think. Studying hats and feathers and all that kind of jazz.
Oh, excellent. Well, I hope the weather's good. I mean, if Royal Ascot was this week, it would have been an absolute disaster, wouldn't it, with the weather? I mean, it's been horrible, but hopefully it'll be decent next week.
Heat wave next week.
I'm not sure about heat wave.
Should they keep changing it, though, don't they?
Oh,
they're terrible. They just don't know, do they? Don't know. And Tom, I believe you are not coming this year. Did you make your debut last year as well?
No, I've been going for the last kind of 5 or 6 years, but this year I decided against it. Decided to be more frugal. So my kind of highlight of going to the races for the next couple of days is I'm going to Downpatrick on Sunday, making the Downpatrick debut. So that should be exciting. Are you going, yeah? Very good. We'll see you there.
I quite fancy Dan Page. It looks very undulating, doesn't it?
I think undulating is an understatement, I would say.
It's like a roller coaster. Okay, well, enjoy down, Patrick. Kills, what's this weekend hold for you?
I'm off to Sandown tomorrow. Love to go pretty much every Saturday Sandown meeting.
Yeah.
And then Sunday is all about working for Royal Ascot. I'll be getting ahead.
Okay, and DJ, weekend plans, grafting away?
So then Patrick, Sunday, and tomorrow, I have a horrible job tomorrow. I have to go shopping for like stuff for holidays and stuff for Royal Ascot, and I just don't really enjoy shopping at all.
I'll get in early and get it done. Okay, chaps, many thanks. All day next week, every day next week even, we've got postcards. We've got Maddie on Monday setting the scene, looking back on some horses that have caught the panellists' eye over the weekend. And then every day from Ascot, we've got great postcasts. Join us for those. On Wednesday, we've got golf as well. Loads more great postcasts coming up.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.